Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. That's right, it's that time again. Time for yet more of this crazy madness that we call Luke's English Podcast. It's not really that crazy, is it? Let's be honest. In fact, it's quite sane. It's quite a sane thing, really. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know why I just said that it was crazy. But, you know, I had to say something. You know, I had to just say something at the start. Because it's no good me just sort of not saying anything. Because then you're just listening to silence. And that's not really going to help you with your English, is it? I mean, silence. I mean, you could listen to silence anywhere. You certainly don't need to download silence from the internet. I think we can all agree on that. So, it's not really crazy, you know, it's not crazy madness like Luke's English Podcast. It's quite normal and quite sane. I think it's the sort of thing that, you know, any sane person would do, you know, listen to this. So if you are listening to this, then well done. That probably proves that you're not mad, okay? Well done. And I mean, who knows? I guess there might be some mad people listening to this. Well, I don't really know, do I? All I have really is like statistics from my website telling me like how many people listen and in which countries they are, but it doesn't tell me, for example, their kind of their mental health. For all I know, there could be kind of mental health institutions, like clinics in different countries where they kind of encourage the patients to listen to Luke's English Podcast just because they think that it'll somehow help with their mind. I don't know, I really don't know, but obviously you can see at this point that I'm kind of talking nonsense. It's already started, I've already started to talk some nonsense, but anyway, you know, that's what this is all about for me, just a chance for me to just have a bit of fun and talk a little bit of nonsense and have people all over the world like listen to it and pay attention to it. It's quite a privilege for me. I think really it's a privilege that I can just sort of say all these kinds of things, this kind of stupid stuff, into this microphone here in my living room, and then have like tens of thousands of people listening to it in different countries all over the world. I mean, the privilege really is the fact that I'm, you know, I speak English as a first language, and that there are so many people out there who need to sort of learn English to a very good degree, and that they actually will go to the effort of, say, downloading a podcast from an English teacher like me, just so they can listen to like real genuine English. So anyway, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you'll know that often the first, say, 5 to 10 minutes of each episode might be me just talking a load of crap at the beginning, and that really you do get down to business later on in each episode. So, you know, if this is the first time you're listening, you know, don't worry, it's not just me talking nonsense for the whole time. We do actually do some quite useful things in this podcast. So, you know, don't give up. Don't stop listening just because I haven't taught you any new words or anything yet. You know, there's no need to stop. Just wait. Be patient. Okay, be patient, because there will be some seriously brilliant and very useful and amazing things in this episode today. Right, that actually brings me to the content of today's episode. What's it going to be about? Well, sorry, I just got a cup of tea going on here. So what's the podcast about? Well, I thought it was time to have another look at a different accent again. And in this episode, we're going to focus on a kind of London accent. Some people would call it the Cockney accent. Basically, it's that kind of working class London accent. So what I've done is I've searched the internet looking for samples of a kind of sort of East London or kind of working class London Cockney accent. And what I've done is I've found an interview with an actor called Ray Winstone, or Ray Winston. Winstone, I think. I think people call him Ray Winstone, actually. Ray Winstone is a great British actor, and he's very, very well respected. And he's from the East End of London, so he's got that, you know, he's got that sort of like East End sort of accent. You know what I mean? So he speaks a bit like that. You probably know Ray Winstone. He's been in some great films. He was in the latest Indiana Jones movie. He's also been in The Departed with Leonardo DiCaprio. And he's a really good British actor. And I think he's a good example of that sort of London style accent. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about with the London accent, you know, basically, it's a bit like this, isn't it? You know what I mean? So, like, if you're from London, yeah, if you're, like, a proper Londoner, yeah, you might be, like, a bit of a geezer, you know what I mean? You sort of speak with, like, a Cockney accent and all that sort of thing. You know what I mean? So you say words like thing, yeah, thing, not thing, not thing with the sort of, with your tongue between your teeth, th, no. It's like f, like an F sound, thing. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about all the people in like the east of London who speak in a Cockney accent, they don't say think, they say think, you know what I mean? Like, so you know what I'm thinking about. So that's a kind of that's a sort of Cockney accent, right? So what I'm going to do is play you this interview with Ray Winstone, and in the interview he talks about the worst date he ever had, like the worst date he ever had. And he tells a kind of story about the worst date that he ever had. Now, I wonder if you can understand the story. Maybe the accent might make it a little difficult for you to understand what he's saying. But it'll be very good practice for you, and hopefully it'll give you kind of more of an idea of what that kind of London Cockney accent sounds like. So you can perhaps identify it or understand it in the future. All right, so first of all, let me play you this interview. It's fairly long. It's probably about 6 minutes long, I think. So keep listening, because when it's finished, I'm going to explain what he said. And we'll look in a bit more detail at the accent and some of the expressions that he uses, right? So this is like real, genuine, authentic British English from a real Londoner. All right, mate? Nice one. Right, here's the interview then. Check it out.
I remember going on a date once years ago with a girl, Kerry, really good girl, and I knew her brother and everything, right? And I picked her up, and as I went to pick her up, I walked into the... this is a disaster, this is how things go wrong, right? I walked into the passageway, and they lived at the back of Limehouse, really nice people. And someone had left a telephone on the floor, and there was a glass door into the front room, the lounge. As I walked in, I was going, hello, and I kicked the telephone on. It was like on a volley, half volley. Went straight through the glass window, right? That's the first, right? Smashed the thing to pieces, right? I'm in bits. I'm like, Mum and Dad were caught. I said, I'm really, really sorry. Who left the phone on the floor again? So I'm really, really sorry. And Kerry was upstairs getting ready and all that. And then I sat down on the settee waiting for her. You know, Mum's pounding the glass up, and it's like, I'm in bits. And I leant on the side of the sofa, like that, and the whole sofa ripped down and fell off. Now, you're going to think I'm joking here, right? It fell off, and I'm up. It's like you've been framed or something, right? I'm in bits now, right? Oh, fucking sorry, right? And they're getting the ump now. I'm smashing the house up. Right? I've only been in there 5 minutes. Done that. We've got a bus from Limehouse. On the bus, some Russian-type sailor started digging us out, you know, saying, you come with me, with your girlfriend and all that. I've had a fight on the bus with a geezer, right? It's within half an hour now, right? Right, mullered him on the bus, right? It's all gone pear-shaped, right? So we're still going out. We've gone to a pub. Then we've gone to a party. And the party's in Cloudsley Square, in Islington, right? Go up there, nice out, very nice out. One of three kind of tier houses, townhouse things, you know, really lovely. And the same thing. You know, what I was just saying about, it's what reminded me about, you know, keeping one eye on her, she's all right, and I'm talking to a couple of friends here, like, bum, bum, bum. And as she's walked across the room, to come and talk to me, I've noticed that you do with your girls, it's something you kind of, you look after them without making them feel they're being looked after, you know what I mean? But you watch it. And she's tripped on the carpet. And as I've caught her, right? There's a table behind me with a glass chandelier, right, thing on, right? And I don't know how much this was worth, right? I've hit it. And it's smashed on the floor, on the fireplace, and it's gone everywhere. I mean, it's glass everywhere. You couldn't glue this back together. Right? And the woman whose house it was screamed, right? And I remember saying to her, I'm really sorry, love. Whatever it costs, I was trying to catch her. Whatever it costs, I'll pay for it, and I'll put it all right. You know, it was obviously someone's mum we knew, and I'll pay for it. She went on. Then you go, well, fuck you, then. And you know, then it all goes pear-shaped. And that was the date, and I got her home, and that was that. A really nice girl could have, you know, might have been really nice. That was it. I had a nightmare. Well, so by watching someone trying to be so nice, it all went the other way.
Whoa, okay, there you go. That's Ray Winstone talking about the worst date he ever had. Now, I wonder how much of that you've got. Well, basically, let me just explain basically what the story was, and then we will go through it, like, bit by bit and understand exactly what he says, like, word for word, all right? Which is pretty good because you're going to sort of find out about the different pronunciation features, and also you'll pick up various expressions that he used that you might not know. First of all, the story is he's talking about when he had a date with a girl, and it was the worst date that he ever had. First thing, he went to her house. He went to her parents' house to pick her up. And they lived somewhere in East London, around the back of Limehouse. It's an area in East London. And apparently he was just going into the flat, into the apartment or house. And there was a big glass door, and someone had left a telephone on the floor. And by accident, he kicked the telephone, and it hit the glass door and smashed the glass door, right? So that's the first thing he did wrong. He smashed the glass door by accidentally kicking the telephone, which had been on the floor, and that flew into the glass and smashed it. And apparently the girl's parents were, you know, quite nice about it, and they said, don't worry. So he sat down on the sofa, and he kind of rested his arm on the side of the sofa, and it ripped and fell off. So somehow he broke the arm of the sofa. It ripped and boom, fell off, right? So within the first 30 minutes of him arriving, he's already smashed the glass door, and he's already broken the arm from the sofa, right? Let's see, what else did he do? Then he got on the bus with the girl and had a fight with some Russian sailor, and he punched this Russian sailor on the bus, right? And then finally they got to this party in Islington, and he was kind of like just at the party with this girl, and he had one eye on the girl, so he's kind of watching the girl, looking after her, and apparently she was walking towards him, and she slipped on the carpet, like she fell on the carpet. But he managed to catch her, but while he was catching her, they both fell back against the table, and there was a huge glass chandelier. A chandelier is one of those very ornate glass things that you have hanging from the ceiling with light coming from it. A big glass, very decorative thing that you would have hanging from the middle of the ceiling. Apparently there was a big glass chandelier on the table, and they knocked the chandelier on the floor, and that smashed everywhere. And he tried to apologise for it, but in the end, the woman who owned the chandelier was very upset, and they had to leave. Right, so that's the worst date that he ever had. And I think he never saw the girl again, unfortunately. Right, but let's try and understand word for word what Ray said in the interview, okay? So we'll start from the beginning again, and I'm going to play it to you bit by bit, explaining as we go. So let's listen to the start again.
I remember going on a date once years ago.
I remember going on a date once years ago. But going on a date sound like going on a date. I remember going on a date once. I remember going on a date once years ago.
With a girl, Kerry, really good girl. And I knew her brother and everything, right?
With a girl. A girl is a girl, right? With a girl, a really good girl. And that's a girl, okay? And he said, I knew her brother and everything, right? I knew her brother and everything, right?
And I picked her up, and as I went to pick her up, I walked into the, this is a disaster, this is how things go wrong, right?
This is a disaster, this is how things go wrong. This is how things go wrong, right? This is this is how things go wrong, right?
I walked into the passageway and they lived at the back of Limehouse, really nice people.
I'm going to add a tape script for this, by the way. He said, I walked into the passageway, they lived around the back of Limehouse, really nice people. So Limehouse is just an area in East London. So he's saying he walked into the passageway and they lived in Limehouse, by the way.
And someone left a telephone on the floor.
Someone had left the telephone on the floor. Someone had left the telephone on the floor. Right? Someone had left the telephone on the floor. Someone had left the telephone on the floor. Okay?
And there was a glass door into the front room of the lounge.
And there was a glass door into the front room of the lounge. There's a glass door into the front room of the lounge. Lounge, not lounge, but lounge. Into the front room of the lounge. Lounge is lounge or living room, like the sitting room in your house.
As I walked in, I was going, hello, and I kicked the telephone on. It was like on a volley, half volley.
As I walked in, I was going, hello, or I was saying hello. I was going, hello. And I kicked the telephone on the volley, on the half volley. I kicked the telephone on the half volley, right? On the volley, on the half volley. If you kick something on the volley, it's kind of like, I don't really understand how you do that with a telephone, but it's like if you kick something when it's in the air, like in football, you kick something on the volley. I don't really know how he's kicked the telephone on the volley, because I imagine it's on the floor. But anyway, he kicked the telephone. So as I was going in, going hello, like going hello, I kicked the telephone on the volley. Like I said, a volley is when you, like, say, kick a football when the football's in the air. That's a volley, okay?
It went straight through the glass window, right?
It went straight through the glass window, right? It went straight through the glass window. Went straight through the glass window. Window. That's window. Right? Okay.
That's the first, right? Smash the thing to pieces, right?
Smash the thing to pieces, right? Smashed the thing to pieces. He doesn't say thing, he says thing, like with an F sound. Smash the thing to pieces.
I'm in bits. I'm like,
I'm in bits. I'm like, like that. Right, I'm in bits means like I'm, you know, shocked, you know, really disappointed and embarrassed. I'm in bits. I'm like,
Mum and Dad were caught. I said, I'm really, really sorry. Who left the phone on the floor? They're going on all that.
They're going on and all that. Who left the telephone on the floor? They're going on and all that. Who left the telephone on the floor? They're going on and all that. So, like, and all that is a bit like etc. They're going on is like they're saying. So, who left the telephone on the floor? They're saying, etc. Who left the telephone on the floor? They're going on and all that. Yeah, they're going on and all that. They're going on and all that. All right?
I'm really, really sorry. Kerry was upstairs getting ready and all that.
I'm really, really sorry. Kerry was upstairs and getting ready and all that. So I'm really, really sorry, Kerry, that's probably his date, Kerry was upstairs getting ready and all that. Kerry was upstairs getting ready and all that, yeah?
And then I sat down on the settee waiting for her, you know, the mum's pounding the glass up and it's like, I'm in bits.
And I sit down on the settee, right, but he doesn't say settee, he says settee, which is quite a common feature in that sort of London accent, that the T sound isn't really pronounced like a T sound. Instead, it gets pronounced with a kind of glottal stop. So that's like, instead of saying settee, it's like settee. Or instead of saying water, it's like water. Yeah, can I have a glass of water, please? A glass of water. So water, not water, but So that kind of, let's say that sort of plosive sound that you normally get with a T on your tongue at the front of your mouth, T, that plosive sound comes from the back of your throat instead, water, there. So that's like our working class people, like Londoners speak, you know what I mean? Well, maybe not working class, but that's how sort of the that's how that London dialect sounds. Whether it's working class or not, maybe, is another question. But anyway, he said, I sat down on the settee. The settee is the sofa, right? I sat down on the settee and I'm in bits, right? Again, it just means he's embarrassed. He's very ashamed of himself. Yeah, I think he said that the mother was like panning the glass up. That means kind of sweeping up the glass with a dustpan and brush, right? A dustpan and brush. That's what you would use to clean up broken glass, right? A brush, we know. A dustpan is like the little tray thing that you use to sweep up any broken glass, right? So she's like panning up the glass, meaning sweeping up the glass, all right?
And I leant on the side of the sofa, like that.
And I leant on the side of the sofa, like that. Now, that means like that, right? So he's actually demonstrating with his arm at that point. I leant, that's lean, leant, like, you know, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, for example. I leant on the side of the sofa, like that. I leant on the side of the sofa, like that, yeah? And then what happened?
And the whole sofa ripped down and fell off.
And the whole sofa ripped down and fell off. But he doesn't say down, he says Dan. And the old sofa ripped Dan and fell off. Now, not whole, so there's another feature there, not pronouncing the H sound. Not the whole sofa, but the old sofa. Ripped Dan, ripped down, Dan, and fell off, right? Like that.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The old sofa ripped down and fell off, like that.
Now you're going to think I'm joking here, right?
Now you're going to think I'm joking. You're going to think I'm joking, right? But he doesn't say think, he says think. You're going to think I'm joking. And he doesn't say joking, oh, joking. He says joking. You're going to think I'm joking, right?
It fell off and I'm up. It's like you've been framed to say it, right?
It fell off and I'm up. So it means he got up. And it's like you've been framed or something, right? You've been framed is a TV, a very popular TV show in England. And it's like home videos where people have embarrassing accidents. You know those kinds of shows? So he says, it's like you've been framed or something. That means it's like I'm in some embarrassing TV show or something, right? It's like you've been framed or something, right?
I'm in bits now, right? Oh, fucking sorry, right? And they're getting the hump now.
And I'm in bits. Right, we know what that means. I'm in bits. That means I'm, like, you know, really ashamed and embarrassed. And they're getting the hump. They're getting the hump. You know, like a hump? You know, like on a camel's back, a hump? Well, it's a kind of a slang expression. If you're getting the hump or getting the hump, it means you're getting pissed off, getting annoyed. They're getting the hump, like that. Yeah, so that means they're getting really annoyed, really angry. And he said, I'm fucking sorry. I'm fucking sorry. So that's like, I'm fucking sorry. Yeah, now, remember, fucking, yeah, is a swear word, which you shouldn't repeat. Okay, it's a very rude word. It's probably the second most rude word in the language. I'm not going to tell you what the first one is, actually. No, cause it's just too rude. I don't want people going around swearing all over the place in different countries because they've been listening to Luke's English podcast. But just for the benefit of this particular clip of Ray Winstone, he said, "Fuck, I'm fucking sorry." I'm fucking sorry. Yeah? The word fuck is actually very commonly used, but it's very rude, so don't do it, okay? It's not big, and it's not clever. It's not fucking big, you know what I mean?
I'm in bits now, right? Oh, fucking sorry, you know? And they're getting the ump now. I'm smashing the ass up.
I'm smashing the ass up. I'm smashing the house up. But to smash something up is like to destroy it, yeah? I'm smashing the ass up, you know what I mean?
I've only been in there 5 minutes. Done that. We've got a bus from Limehouse. On the bus, some Russian-type sailor started digging us out.
Some Russian-type sailor started digging us out. If someone digs you out, and to be honest, it's not a common expression, to dig someone out. But it means to kind of, let's say, be rude to someone, say very rude things, to like start a fight, you know, with someone. So some Russian-type sailor started digging him out on the bus.
And I was saying, you come with me, with your girlfriend and all that. I've had a fight on a bus with a geezer, right?
I've had a fight on a bus with a geezer, right? Now, a geezer is just a kind of slang word for a man, right? A geezer. I've had a fight on a bus with a geezer. I've had a fight on the bus with a geezer. That's G-E-E-Z-E-R. Geezer. And it's just a slang word for a man, right? A geezer. Know what I mean? A bit of a geezer. Remember, by the way, that I will write a tape script for this interview, so you can read it on the website, and you'll be able to see all these words written down, and then you can like check them out in the dictionary or whatever you want to do. That's, remember, the website's http://teacherluke.podomatic.com. Don't forget it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's listen to the rest of this interview. So he's had a fight on the bus with some geezer, with some Russian geezer, yeah. What happened next, Ray? Tell us. Tell us what happened next, please.
Within half an hour now, right? I mullered him on the bus, right? It's all gone pear-shaped, right?
Mullered him on the bus. I've mullered him. To muller someone is to, like, punch someone. You know, like, with your hand, with your fist. So he mullered him on the bus, right? So he's punched him, and he said it's all gone pear-shaped, which is another kind of typical sort of Cockney expression. If something goes pear-shaped, it means it goes all wrong. Everything goes wrong. It's like a disaster. It's all gone pear-shaped. Pear is a fruit, right? Apples and pears. It's all gone pear-shaped.
I mullered him on the bus, right? It's all gone pear-shaped, right? So we're still going out. We've gone to a pub. Then we've gone to the party. And the party's in Cloudesley Square. It isn't, right?
We're still going out. We're still going out. And we've gone to a party, right? And the party is in Cloudesley Square. So a party, you know what I said about the T sound? Yeah? Well, there's another example of it. It's not a party, but a party. Yeah, we've gone to a party, yeah, in Cloudesley Square, and that's in Islington. Islington. Islington is an area in kind of northeast London, or North London, Islington. But he says Islington, Islington, or Islington, because he doesn't pronounce the T sound, just like Islington. We've gone to a party, yeah, in Islington. Islington.
Still going out, we've gone to a pub, then we've gone to a party, and the party's in Cloudesley Square, in Islington, right? Go up there, nice house, very nice house, one of three kind of tier houses, townhouse things, you know, really lovely.
He's talking about the house where the party was. He said he's gone up there, it's a lovely house, a kind of like a three-tier townhouse. It means like a three-story or three-floor townhouse, a lovely house. Quite common in that area of London, or in many areas of London, these kind of lovely townhouses with three floors. You get like a basement floor, often four floors actually, a basement floor, a ground floor, and then two other floors. So we've gone up there to a lovely three-tier townhouse in Islington, right?
And the same thing. You know, what I was just saying about it's what reminded me about it. You know, keeping one eye on her, she's all right, and I'm talking to a couple of friends here, like, bum, bum, bum.
Right. Well, I'm not quite sure what he said there, to be honest. I think he said, so we went to the party and the same thing happened. You know, what I was talking about, I'm keeping one eye on her. I'm keeping one eye on her. Just basically means he's watching her, he's looking out for her. And then something about boom, boom, boom. I don't know. I don't know really what he means. I don't think he really said anything there, to be honest. Just noises, really. Just kind of Cockney noises. Now, that's not really fair. He did say some things, but he didn't really make any sense. Let's listen to it again, though, anyway, just to see if we can pick out something.
you know, what I was just saying about, it's what reminded me about, you know, keeping one eye on her, she's all right, and I'm talking to a couple of friends here, like, bum, bum, bum. And then she's walked across the room.
And as she's walked across the room, fine, OK, it's fairly clear, isn't it, really? Yeah, it's, like, fairly clear, you know what I mean? It's, like, you know, pretty simple, yeah? It's, like, it's not rocket science, you know what I mean? It's not fucking rocket science, yeah? All right. I hope you're not listening to this in a class. I hope that as a teacher you haven't just sort of like, oh, I think I'll download this episode about Cockney accents. That sounds good. And it's like full of geezers, yeah, swearing. You know what I mean? It's just like loads of geezers like effing and blinding and swearing, like fucking, just swearing all over the place, you fucking mug. You know what I mean? You, as a teacher, yeah, if you're listening to this in your class, you're a fucking mug. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's becoming quite rude, this podcast. I do apologise if you're offended by this language. But, you know, this is real British English. This is what it sounds like, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, but the truth hurts. The truth can hurt your ears if you're not prepared. Okay. And anyway, it said explicit. It said explicit on the podcast. So, you know, you were prepared a little bit.
And then she's walked across the room. To come and talk to me.
And as she's walked across the room, right? To come and talk to me. To come and talk to me. To come and talk to me, okay.
I've noticed that you do with your girls. It's something you kind of you look after them without making them feel they're being looked after. You know what I mean? But you watch it.
So, and I've noticed. So there's the T sound. I've noticed. And you do with your girls, and you do with your girls. So saying, and I've noticed, and you do with girls. You know, you notice things. You know, I'm looking after her. I'm looking after her, right? So he says he's noticed something because he's looking after her.
And she's tripped on the carpet.
She's tripped on the carpet. To trip, you know, that's like to fall. You know, if you're walking along and your foot hits something on the ground, you might trip. It's like when you kind of fall over because your foot hits something. So she's tripped on the carpet.
And as I've caught her,
As I've caught her, not caught her, but caught her. So, again, the H sound of her isn't clearly pronounced. So, as I've caught her, not caught her, I've caught her. And the T sound of caught. So, it's not caught her, but as I've caught her. Sounds like quarter or quarter. As I've caught her, so he managed to catch her.
There's a table behind me with a glass chandelier, right, thing on, right? And I don't know how much this was worth, right? I've hit it.
There's a table behind with a glass chandelier, and I don't know how much this was worth. If something is worth something, it means that it has value. So maybe the chandelier was worth, like, £5,000, or the chandelier was worth £10,000. So there's a chandelier, and I don't know how much this thing was worth, but I think he said I've hit it.
With a glass chandelier, right, thing on, right? And I don't know how much this was worth, right? I've hit it. And it's smashed on the floor, on the fireplace, and it's gone everywhere. I mean, it's glass everywhere. You couldn't glue this back together. Right, and the woman whose house it was screamed.
Yeah, he hit it, and the glass smashed everywhere, and there's glass everywhere, and you couldn't glue it back together. Glue, you know, is that stuff that, you know, if you break something like a plate, you need glue to stick it back together. So you couldn't glue it back together again. And the woman whose house it is screamed, okay? Remember the word scream is like, ah! Like that, that's scream. The difference between the word scream and the word shout, scream is when you go, ah! And shout is when you just speak very loudly. Oi, what are you doing? Like that, that's to shout. Okay, but the woman screamed.
Right. And I remember saying to her.
And I remember saying to her.
I'm really sorry, love. Whatever it costs, I was trying to catch her. Whatever it costs, I'll pay for it and I'll put it all right. You know, it was obviously someone's mum we knew and I'll pay for it. She went,
however much it costs, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. Yeah, however much it costs, I'll pay for it. I'll put it right. Yeah, don't worry, I'll pay for it. It's obviously someone's mum we knew.
And she went on, then you go, well, fuck you then.
And she went on, and you go, oh, well, fuck you then. So she went on and went on means she kept, like, she was obviously very angry and very upset. She kept like complaining, or maybe she kept sort of being angry with them, like, oh my god, I can't believe you've done this, what have you done, you know. So she kept going on, and in the end he just, oh well, fuck you then.
But she went on, then you go, well, fuck you then, and you know, then it all goes pear-shaped.
And then it all goes pear-shaped. There's that expression again. It all goes pear-shaped. It all goes wrong. Right? Okay.
And that was the date. And I got her home. And
that was the date. Date. Not date. But date. That was the date. And I got her home. Not got her home or got her home. But I got her home.
That was that. A really nice girl. Could have, you know, might have been really nice. That was it. I had a nightmare. Well, so by watching someone trying to be so nice, it all went the other way.
That was it. I don't think he heard from her again. He said, by watching her, by trying to be nice, it all went wrong. So that's it. That's the end of the story. So there you go. That's a bit of Ray Winstone there. Talking in that sort of geezer, you know, that sort of Cockney accent, you know what I mean? He's like a bit of a geezer, you know what I mean? Like that. So that's Ray Winstone. So I hope you found that interesting. It's very common, that accent. It's, you know, popular in sort of gangster movies, like British gangster movies tend to use a lot of that sort of accent. What's very funny is when American actors try to do that accent, and it all goes horribly, horribly wrong. It all goes pear-shaped. For example, who's the guy in Ocean's 11? There's a guy called... I can't remember his name now. He's an actor in Ocean's 11, and he plays a British gangster, but his accent is absolutely terrible. I want to see if I can find a clip on YouTube, and I'll play it to you. Let me see. Okay, I couldn't find any examples on YouTube, but the actor's name is Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle is quite a famous American actor, but he couldn't do an English accent to save his life. The other example of a bad English accent would be Dick Van Dyke, from the movie Mary Poppins, which is a lovely, lovely film, like a fantastic film. But Dick Van Dyke's accent in that is terrible. Dick Van Dyke is an American actor, and he tried to do a kind of a Cockney working class London accent in that movie, and it's famous for being a terrible British accent. Still a fantastic film though. It's a really, really nice movie. So there you go. I think that's probably it. I wonder if I can find some other little samples to play to you. I think this might be the end of the podcast, but I'm going to have a little look on YouTube and see what I can find. I might just add a few other little examples of some sort of working class, like Cockney English for you, you know what I mean? All right, nice one. Right, I found a little clip from EastEnders. Yeah, EastEnders, that's a very, very popular soap opera in this country. EastEnders. And it's about kind of ordinary people in East London. So let's listen to this clip. Basically, try and work out what's going on, okay? What's happening in this clip? Just to give you a little clue, first of all, the scene is in a pub. It's in the local pub, and some of the girls are sitting around and they're talking about their secrets. But one of the girls has got a kind of a dark secret to reveal. What's it going to be?
I've got one.
Go on, Enzo.
Go on. I was going to tell everyone tomorrow, but I might as well do it now.
You're too young to have a secret. Yeah.
Shows what you know, doesn't it?
Let's hear it then.
I'm leaving.
Oh, no.
What? I'm leaving. Wolford. Well, England.
What's she talking
about? Uncle Harry's asked me to go and work in his pub in Spain, and I said yes.
Oh. You are joking.
No.
Did you know about this, Peggy?
Used to me.
Great experience,
that. Yeah. No, it won't. She ain't going.
Leave it, Kat. It's up to Dad, not you.
Talk about it later, eh?
You can talk all you like. She ain't going.
You don't rule my life.
Look, just shut up and sit down, Zoe.
No, you're always doing this to me and I ain't having it.
Stop it, the pill.
What's it got to do with you anyway? It's got everything to do with me.
Kat.
All right, I'll go and I'll stay now.
You ain't going anywhere!
Watch me!
Kat, leave it.
No, please, Kat.
Oh, no, leave him, Nan, leave him.
Zoe! Come here.
No, in front of you, picking on me all the time.
I'm not picking on you. You're
embarrassing me in front of everyone.
Just listen to me, will you?
I'm going. There ain't nothing you can do about it.
Join the back. We're going our stuff together, shall we? See who listens to.
Why don't you just leave me alone?
Because you're not going.
Yes,
to
I am.
Get away from me.
No, you don't rule my life.
You're not going to Spain.
And that's that.
Why not? Because I said so, all right?
And I have to do everything you say, do I?
No! You can't tell me what to do! You ain't my mother! Yes, I am!
That's the ending music that you always hear at the end of EastEnders. So did you get the idea of that? You ain't my mother. You ain't my mother. You're not my mother. So basically, one of the girls was saying, I'm leaving, I'm going to go to Spain. My uncle has given me a job in Spain, so I'm going to leave England and go to Spain. And one of the other girls says, no, you're not going. And they have an argument. She says, you're not going because I say so. And she says, I'm fed up with you picking on me, telling me what to do, embarrassing me in front of everyone. And she says, you can't go to Spain because I say so. And she says, you can't just tell me what to do. You're not my mother. And then the other woman said, yes, I am. So, you know, the secret is that actually she was the other one's mother. Oh, my God. So, yeah, there you go. That's a bit of EastEnders for you. You can find more EastEnders if you just do a YouTube search for EastEnders. EastEnders, EastEnders. Right, that's it from this episode of Luke's English Podcast. Thank you very much for your emails. I continue to get lots of emails from listeners telling me their stories how they're learning English and like where they're from. I get emails from lots of people all over the place. So thank you very much for contacting me. It's very nice to hear from you. Sorry that I don't get back to everybody. I just can't, you know, I spend enough time producing the podcasts and putting them online. I can't really reply to everyone, I'm afraid. Watch this space for more episodes coming soon. That's it for this one. Thanks very much for listening. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks very much for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information and a transcript, please visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.